You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Yes, new Oxidol is white, and it washes clothes whiter than ever before. The cleanest wash you can get from any soap in the world. Oxidol's own Ma Perkins.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Now your clothes wash whiter than ever before with Procter & Gamble's amazing new white Oxidol. The whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. The whitest wash in Oxidol history. Yes, today you'll see a wonderful new whiteness in everything you wash. You'll see sheets and shirts and napkins wash a brilliant snowy white. So white, you're bound to say...
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
You're right. With new white Oxidol, it gives you the cleanest wash it's possible to get with any soap in the world. The whitest Oxidol wash you've ever had. Now you can wash your clothes any day, dry them anywhere, even inside. And as long as you use new white Oxidol, your clothes will keep this wonderful new whiteness throughout their life. And when you see the sparkle it gives to washable colors, you'll know that new Oxidol is truly safe. Your cotton prints, children's dresses and play suits actually come out brighter. Just one look at the brilliant white wash you get with new white Oxidol, the beautifully bright wash, and you'll never be satisfied to use any other wash day soap again. Your dealer has new white Oxidol now, so get some. The next wash day, be right. Get clothes white with new white Oxidol, the greatest Oxidol Procter & Gamble ever offered. The whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. And now for Ma Perkins. Well... Banker Pendleton isn't happy this morning. He was looking forward to telling off Alfred Sinclair for the way the famous writer has been handling the story of Rushville Center, telling about it as seen through Ma Perkins' eyes instead of Banker Pendleton. But Mr. Sinclair turned the tables on Augustus. He not only told him, politely of course, to mind his own business, he even persuaded Mayor Ross over the banker's objections that Joseph should be let off after his blow-up the other night when he hit Peter Skillet. Well, it's about an hour after the big meeting now over at the mayor's office. Mr. Sinclair is walking Ma back to the lumberyard. Listen.
Ah, this is a very nice day, Ma, in the best tradition of a Midwestern Indian summer. Ah, it's very pleasant. Here it is, only 11 o'clock, and a few of your troubles at least are still behind you.
Linda Goshen, I don't know what's got into people, Mr. Sinclair.
Well, now, if you're thinking of Mr. Pendleton and his tirade against me up at the mayor's office, don't. It rolled off me like water off a duck's back. Honestly.
Oh.
Now, the thing for us to do is to forget Banker Pendleton. The first installment of my story in Rushville Center is now out and in the magazine, and there's just nothing he can do about it. The thing you and I have to worry about now is Joseph, getting him straightened out.
Would you mind telling me, Mr. Sinclair, what you said to Banker Pendleton and Mayor Ross? To get them not to have Joseph arrested for what happened.
Why don't we just say, Ma, that I pointed out to them the error of their ways and they repented,
The last I heard, before you asked me to step outside at the mayor's office, the last I heard, Banker Pendleton was asking that Joseph go to jail if need be. Then, a few minutes later, you walk out and say everything is all right.
Well, let's just say that Banker Pendleton and Mayor Ross repented fast, huh?
Well... I never have been one to look gift horses in the mouth. I didn't expect, of course, that Joseph should go completely free.
Oh, now, wait. He won't. I agreed with Mayor Ross that whatever damages there were, Joseph would pay them.
Oh, well, that's only fair. There'd be some doctor bills, and then there was a glass showcase over at the restaurant. That is broken. That must be paid for.
Exactly. What I didn't want to happen, Ma, and I know you felt the same way, was for Joseph to be hailed before a justice of the peace at all, even if only meant a fine.
Oh, yes, Len. That would have been the last straw. Oh, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be. You understand?
I know.
Violence, losing one's temper, it's never the answer to anything. I'm not for a minute saying that Joseph did right, hurting a man. It's just that seeing him this morning... The way he was before he went off to work.
I can well imagine.
The shame and conscience of it. Joseph is a peaceful young man, Mr. Sinclair. It's 2 years since he left off studying for the ministry, but the teachings are still in his heart and mind.
Tell me, Ma, you said that he mentioned that he wanted to leave town. Do you think he was serious about it?
Well, it was hard to know. Joseph was angry. But the anger was just to cover the conscience he felt for having forgot himself.
I don't think he should take the incident to heart.
Oh, that's Joseph, Mr. Sinclair.
Yes, yes, I know. But anyone who's been around town these past few days and heard the kidding and teasing he's taken over his date with Miss Morrison certainly couldn't blame him for losing his temper. I marvel that he's restrained himself this long.
Well...
Does he have someplace specific in mind, or is it just the idea of getting away?
He didn't say. I think it was just getting away.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I asked, I spoke to him, you know. In fact, it was only a few hours before he blew up. I happened to mention that Miss Morrison and I, when we left here, that we were going abroad.
Mr. Sinclair, maybe this ain't for me to ask of you, but... one of the things that's most tormented Joseph, it wasn't the teasing and the joking so much. That's been going on for days, but he didn't mind. He was so happy, liking Miss Morrison so much and being so pleased at her taking an interest in him. But what did break his heart and set him off was the whole blessed day after they had supper out at the country club. The whole day he tried and tried to talk with her. He telephoned her I don't know how many times. And always, there was no answer. They told him at the hotel, each time they asked who's calling, and when he'd tell them, they'd say she wasn't there, couldn't be talked to.
And you want to know why Joseph couldn't reach Anne?
Oh, that was cruel, Mr. Sinclair. It wasn't fair to the boy.
Yes, I suppose you're right, Ma. It wasn't very fair to him.
He had been so happy. The night at the country club, it was like for him being in seventh heaven. And then the next day, with folks teasing and all... well, he thought that maybe Miss Morrison had heard the teasing, that she was angry with him.
Oh, no. No, that wasn't it at all. No, Anne had nothing to do with that. It was all my idea. Oh, that's a shame. Apparently, I misjudged the boy completely. You see, Ma, Anne and I have gone through this sort of thing before. I told you once that she collects people as others collect stamps or coins or butterflies. Well, that wasn't quite accurate. Anne doesn't have to collect people. She just naturally attracts them. Men, I mean.
She's very beautiful.
Yes, she's beautiful and alluring. Unfortunately, she hasn't always been too smart in the way she's handled the men she's attracted. Well, I'm not violating any confidence because Anne would tell you the same thing if you were to ask her. I told you something about her background once, her life. There's a lot more that I couldn't tell you. She's known real tragedy. And she's used men to help her forget. I will tell you this. Of all the men, and there have been many, Joseph is the only one for whom she's felt a very genuine warmth and affection. I mean that. It all started as another one of her games, but... well, she wouldn't hurt him now for the world. She's really quite distressed that he's so taken this to heart. It wasn't her idea not to talk to him on the phone. That was mine. I felt that it might be better just to break this off right now and fast. Well, apparently my timing was all wrong. It was too late to break it off.
Mr. Sinclair, don't you think that... well, as long as you say Miss Morrison likes Joseph so much...
yes, she does, very much.
Well, I don't want to fear either between them.
Well, no, wait, Ma. When I say that Anne likes Joseph... well, I don't know how to say this. This is very awkward. Oh... That's as far as it can ever go. I mean, it stops there. They're liking each other. Please don't ask me to explain. But if Joseph has any wild illusions of, well, marriage, let's say, I can tell you that's quite out of the question. Don't ask me why. It just is. Again, I'm not violating any confidence. What's the matter? Why are you smiling? Oh, you mean, am I the reason Anne couldn't marry Joe? No. No, you're very right in what you're thinking, though. I am in love with him. I have been for a long, long time. But I would never, could never stand between Anne and anyone she might want to marry. I'm just her friend, her confidant. No, there are other reasons why Anne can't marry Joe or me or anyone else. But that's her secret. You're right, though, about my loving her.
She's a fortunate woman, Mr. Sinclair, to have a man like you loving her.
We are both fortunate, Ma. Anne and I compliment each other very well. Oh, but go ahead. I went off at a tangent. You were about to say something.
Well, it just came to me as you were talking. The thought that maybe if we could all get together, you and Miss Morrison could maybe come to supper, and Joseph would be there, and there's been too much of a secret about all of this, Joe seeing her. I mean, everybody whispering and giggling behind Joseph's back and acting like it's a great big secret joke and mystery. If we could all sit around like grown-up people, no more gossiping and the like, no more teasing.
I think that's an excellent idea, Ma. When would you like to do it?
Well, we could do it tonight for supper.
Fine, fine.
I mean, just sit around afterwards and talk. Let Joseph see that he's among friends. You and Miss Morrison can talk openly about your plans. Where you're going from here and...
I think that's very wise. When would you like us to come over?
Oh, would 6 o'clock be all right for you?
Oh, I'm sure it will. Oh, what about Joseph, though? Are you sure he'll be there?
Oh, well, I'm hoping he will. I hope there ain't anything else gone wrong today.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
That's what you'll be saying next wash day, because now your clothes wash whiter than ever before with new white Oxidol, the greatest Oxidol Procter & Gamble ever offered. It's the whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. Just see how white this new Oxidol is. But more important, see how white it washes your clothes. Now, everybody knows an Oxidol wash has always been one of the whitest washes in the world. But your new Oxidol wash will be the cleanest it's possible to get from any soap on earth. The whitest Oxidol wash you've ever had.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Yes, you're right. It's white. Even when you dry your clothes inside, new white Oxidol gives you the whitest Oxidol wash in history. And for washable colors, it's wonderful. Truly safe. Just see how they sparkle. So next wash day, be right. Get clothes white with new white Oxidol. Get it now. New white Oxidol, the whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash.
Well, it should be a rather interesting experiment, don't you think? Mr. Sinclair and Anne Morrison coming to dinner tonight, with Joseph so on edge, feeling so bitter against everything and everybody. Of course, Ma is going to learn, unfortunately, that Joseph is in no mood for dinner with Miss Morrison or anybody else tomorrow. But now this is Charlie Warren inviting you to listen again tomorrow, same time, same station, to Oxidol's own Ma Perkins, presented by the Procter & Gamble Company.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Yes, new Oxidol is white, and it washes clothes whiter than ever before. The cleanest wash you can get from any soap in the world.